And welcome back into the buzzer beater here on AM 1340 KXEO Sports Saturday. WWE Royal Rumble going on tonight, too, as I'm sure everybody's interested in that. But, you know, before we talk a little bit about that, we want to go in and talk a little bit about Mizzou basketball continuing to have a great season, but another really big test on the road today. Mississippi State, they are also ranked in the top 25. Not going to be an easy one for the Tigers, but definitely a winnable one for them.
Well, you know, it's the SEC. You gotta win. You gotta play tough games, and it's just the way it is. I mean, if you look at the remainder of their season, they're just stacked with teams that are ranked, and that's what happens when you've got possible 14 teams that could make it into the NCAA tournament. You know what? You're just going to keep trying to slog through. If you have a really a 500 season in the SEC, you're having a pretty good year. You know, there are one or two teams, Auburn, Tennessee, that come to mind that are a step above everybody else. But the rest of these teams on any given night can take down anybody else. So Mizzou going to have to bring it tonight in Starkville. And, of course, tip-off coming up at noon today. So we'll see what the Tigers can do. Currently 20 in the AP poll, 21 in the USA Today coaches poll. Pretty good. I mean, 16-4. You know what? I don't think many people were picking them to have that kind of year early in the season.
No, I think the big question is they've had a little bit of a layoff. Is that a good thing to get rested up? But they haven't been in action for over a week. Last time that they played was against Ole Miss, and that was an 83-75 win. Do they have a little bit of rust here, or is that just a nice rest for the Tigers, and they come out firing on all cylinders?
I think they'll come out in pretty good shape. You've got one of the best three-point shooters in the country, percentage-wise, and that's Caleb Grill. Obviously, he was hurt earlier in the season, has come back from that neck injury and done very well. Doesn't lead the team in scoring, but I think maybe by the end of the season, he might hold that distinction. Tamar Bates actually leads the Tigers with 13.5 points per game. Mark Mitchell at 13.1, and then Grill at 12.7. And you can't forget about Ant Robinson. He's got 10.2. So four players in double digits leads to a very good offensive threat for this Mizzou team. They don't have one dominant player like a lot of teams do, but when you spread that scoring around like that, the nice thing is if one player has a night off, so to speak, the rest of them hopefully can pick them up.
It's team basketball. It's step-up mentality for sure. It looks like a pretty even matchup. Mizzou's offense averaging 83.2 points per game. Mississippi State averaging 80.8 points per game. But, of course, they've got the home court advantage today. I don't know how much of a factor that will play in.
Probably a little bit. I mean, you've got to give Mississippi State some credit. And, honestly, I expect this game to go over 80. I have a feeling these two teams will put up probably closer to the mid-80s. So we'll see what happens there. But, they've got some threats, too. Josh Hubbard, one of the Bulldogs, four Bulldogs scoring in double figures, just like Mizzou. They've got some threats. So we'll see. Hopefully the Tigers come away with a nice road win.
Yep, it would be go a long way toward their tournament resume, trying to go for win number 17 on the season. And as we said, that will be a noon tip-off. We're going to have pregame here on KXEO starting in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, so it'll be a full morning of sports here on AM 1340.
You know, it's interesting. There are a couple of other Mizzou things going on. One of those is a big donation at the University of Missouri campus. Audrey Walton, who is on the track and field, her name is on the track, and she has made a donation for Olympic sports, basically to go toward redoing the entire track and subsurface, and also the soccer field.
Seems like I've heard that name somewhere.
They haven't named how big it is, but it's the biggest in Olympic sport history at Mizzou and in the top 10 of all athletic donations at Mizzou. So it's sizable. We'll see. The other interesting news is there's a couple of lawsuits going on from Mizzou students. Former Mizzou defensive back who was a walk-on is suing the NCAA about NIL. They're getting ready to settle NIL, and this lawsuit has just come up in the last couple of weeks. he's basically claiming that, hey, that walk-ons deserve some of this money, that they're going to pay a bunch of athletes back pay, so to speak, because they did not get an opportunity for NIL. And he said, hey, you should be paying walk-on students as well, because their name, image, and likeness were used just as much, and they were putting in as much effort as the people that maybe were represented. Not sure how I feel about that.
I just think that, you know, this whole thing was not thought out ahead of time. It definitely left it open to a lot of lawsuits. And you know what? Why not? Why, if he can get a piece of his pie, go right ahead. Yeah. That's my thought on that.
Yeah. The other lawsuit is by a swimmer who is suing the NCAA because as part of this settlement, they are downsizing. They're basically taking away the walk-ons. There will be no more walk-ons in any sports, and that is going to severely damage the swimming and dive team. They'll lose as many as 10 people from the swim dive team. And he said, you know, you're taking that money or opportunity for money away from all of those students, and he says that's not fair. So, again, going back to your, they didn't think this out very well. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out in court. Now, do they have a chance of winning? I have no idea.
As long as they don't ban the backstroke, then I'm okay.
Yeah.
You got to keep that going. We're going to go over to the NFL. As a matter of fact, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about could the Chiefs make this playoff run and get back to the Super Bowl. That is indeed what they have done. A big AFC championship win against Buffalo at Arrowhead on Sunday. And
you know, I'm going to give Caden some credit.
Okay.
There's
Caden Benning.
Yes. I mean, he's a Bills fan. And you got to feel bad for the Bills. I mean, it's kind of like when the Bills.
It was heartbreaking seeing Josh Allen walk off the field. It was so sad.
I didn't cry.
I didn't cry either.
I didn't cry. This is sad.
But I did. I feel bad for them because they're kind of like the stepchild, you know, that they always say. And it's kind of like, if you remember, years and years ago, Buffalo went to like 3 or 4 Super Bowls.
Watched every one of those, bet on them, and lost myself.
I'm trying to think of the quarterback that came in. Frank Reich.
Yep.
Came in.
Jim Kelly.
Those two quarterbacks got them to the Super Bowl, I think four Super Bowls in a row, and they lost every one of them.
Thurman Thomas was on that team.
It's like, man, Buffalo, what are you jinxed? What's going on there as far as the NFL?
Maybe
they need to move that team to St. Louis.
Well, I don't know that that's going to help them out, but, you know.
Hey, you know what we're celebrating 25 years of, right?
Well,
it was this week. Mike Jones and the famous Super Bowl tackle for the Rams to save the game
against the Patriots.
At the 1 yard line.
Yeah, so. Kurt Warner on that team, as a matter of fact. I think that there are some teams out there that just are perennial chokers. I'm sorry to say it, and I will put it out there, but there are several teams that are out there, and I'm not going to put that label on the Buffalo Bills, but my goodness gracious, there are some teams that have it and some teams that don't.
Teams just can't get over the hump, so to speak, and, you know. If Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes were to suddenly retire next year, I would root for the Bills.
You would?
Yeah.
Just to get
one.
Okay. Well, I'm going to stick
with
it.
And then when Mahomes and Kelce come back the year after that, I'm back to being a Chiefs fan. I would always be a Chiefs fan.
Do they know about this plan that you've just...
No, nobody's...
I didn't know if you talked to them about it.
No, not yet.
Not at all.
Not yet. This
Super
week,
Bowl 59.
Yeah, it is.
Chiefs are... favorite.
They are. They're 1.5-point favorites, I believe, over the Philadelphia Eagles. This is where it all started a couple of years ago.
So you can bet in Missouri now. Have you bet on this game?
I have not.
Have you bet on this game?
No.
Can you legally bet? I don't know how that works.
Can 18-year-olds bet?
Yes, 18-year-olds can bet. Yes,
okay.
I believe.
Yes. There you
and
go.
Buy lottery tickets.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
Life is good enough.
Yes.
There's a number for you. It's 1-888 bets off, Matty.
That's scary.
It'll be an interesting Super Bowl this year. Andy Reid's old team stands in the way of NFL history. I don't know. Is Saquon Barkley just too much for the Chiefs to be able to handle?
He is
or
tough.
Will the Mahomes and Kelce show take over like they have in the past in the Super Bowl? This should be an interesting matchup. I think the over-under that they've got him at is, 49 points at this point?
Yeah, it's up there. Yeah. And, you know, obviously – You know, you don't have the weather to worry about playing in New Orleans.
49.5 points over under.
I kind of expect that kind of game, I think. You know, the Chiefs' defense have held most teams to around 21, you know, good teams, to around 21-ish, to 24. So I think that's a good number, and I think that's what it comes down to, is Mahomes and Kelce are going to have to score, and maybe more. I mean, the Eagles put up 55 in the NFC Championship
game. Yeah, that was a record, NFL record for the NFC Championship game for most points scored. Let's go around the room. We got to make our prediction before we get to Super Bowl Sunday. Maddie, we're going to start off with you.
I feel like it's not going to be a big scoring game. I'm saying Chiefs 24, Eagles 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
24-21.
Yeah.
Chiefs.
Yes.
All right. Michael Doherty.
30-28, Chiefs.
Okay.
I think you're going to have to score a few more.
Yeah, I think it's 37-34, Kansas City.
Yeah,
but I think it is going to be a close game, and, you know, we'll see what happens next week. It is, it's Christmas in America, as Super Bowl will be coming
yes,
our way.
Absolutely.
We're going to switch gears just real quickly. Something that has been trending downward, the St. Louis Blues, been on a losing streak. Last night they got shut out by the Colorado Avalanche. They've now lost four straight, and a lot of their coach is saying it's mind frame right now. They're kind of focusing on the losses. I'm not sure what's happening with the Blues right now.
Well, there's been some interesting moves by the front office. They released Brendan Saad earlier in the week, which was just insane to begin with. I mean, he gave up a $5.4 million contract to mutually terminate because he could have gone to the AHL and played through and been paid. Instead, he said, no, I want to play in the NHL. Totally released me. They did. He signed with Vegas yesterday for $1.5 million for the rest of the year. But a chance to play, obviously, in the NHL. And, of course, his game at age 32 is kind of diminished. At least that's what we've seen this year. And they released another veteran. I can't remember who it was who has not been picked up. But kind of refocusing the talent. And, you know, Jim Montgomery has been very open about challenging some of these guys who, you know, the Robert Thomas, the Jordan Kyrous, to say, hey, you're supposed to be stepping up to be the leaders of this team, and it's time for you to do that. And he's kind of getting rid of some of those players that they've been leaning on and who really also haven't been performing very well. So I think what you're seeing is kind of the same thing you're seeing with the Cardinals, is the Blues are restructuring a little bit, getting ready for next year, because next year they've got as many as six new players that are in the minors this year that they have not wanted to bring up too soon, but I think you could see as many as six of them early next year that will totally reshape what you think of as Blues hockey.
Yeah, I'm not too excited right now. I don't think that the Blues are going to make the playoffs. I was starting to get pretty optimistic a couple of weeks ago.
Up until this four-game losing streak, you kind of felt like they were trending in the right direction.
Yeah, anyway. Momentum has been completely stopped, and I just don't see that spark getting ignited there anytime soon. But
you get down 5-0 in the first period on the road, your chances of winning in the NHL are not good.
Very much diminished. The winter warm-up, St. Louis Cardinals, that took place, I believe it was last weekend.
Yeah.
Not a warm reception for the Mr. John Mozeliak over there, as you would expect that he wouldn't get one.
You know, you're right, and I thought it was interesting that they've said that, you know, they still may add another starting pitcher, and if they do, it's probably going to be Kyle Gibson, especially Max Scherzer now off the board, $15.5 million to Toronto on a one-year deal, and you look at that and you think, man, how nice would it have been to have him back in Missouri, since he's a Mizzou player. Not, and Kyle Gibson is too. Both of them pitched at Mizzou. But just that leadership and that Hall of Fame background.
Price tag was just well out of the ballpark
Gibson,
for the Cardinals.
Gibson's going to cost you 12 to 15. So
I don't know that I see them paying that. But
well, they've said that they may, and if they get rid of Arenado, they probably will add Kyle Gibson. But I think that's still a major question mark. I mean, we started to see a few signings, and I think we'll probably see Bregman from Houston sign sometime in the next couple of weeks, and that will kind of clear the market for Arenado. Most people think he's probably going to Boston sooner or later. I think if the as far as the Cardinals are concerned, they want it sooner. They would just as soon have this taken care of and know exactly what the plan going forward looks like.
No doubt. A couple of things going on locally here today, Maddie. There's a wrestling event, Mexico High School Boys Wrestling over at the Mexico High School today.
Yeah, Boys High School has a dual tournament. I can't think of how many teams are there, but it's going to be good. There's some teams that I know up to 4 hours away and then, like, right down the road. So we got all across the state going to be at home today. And then girls wrestling is at Seckman, so they're on the road.
All right. Wish the best of luck to both of those teams. Yep. As we've got just a couple of minutes left, we'll go around and give our athlete shout-out of the week. Maddie Tolbert, we'll start off with you.
I'll give it to Kinley Jones because
what a game she
played
had.
Good against Palmyra.
That was her best game in a long time.
Yeah, my mom texted me during that game. She said, "What did Kinley eat for breakfast?"
Nah,
I
was bacon. It had to be bacon.
Probably, yeah. She was on fire though. It was good.
No doubt. Michael Doherty, your athlete shout out of the week.
You know, I was going to go with Caden Benny, and then she said Kinley Jones, and I really would love to give Kinley a shout-out as well because that was an excellent game. I'm going to go with Caden, not for the game he had, but for the games he's had. He's starting to stack game on game on game of being one of those double-digit scorers and kind of, you know, this team, when it went into the year, everybody said this is going to be run on the back of Jaden Eldridge, and Jaden has struggled with his shot. He's doing other things now to make the team more dangerous, but it's starting to turn into the Caden Benny team, and he's not faltered from that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch, but Caden is really growing into that leadership position as far as on the court.
I'm going to go with Addison Payden. I've been reading some wrestling results here this last week, and it looked like Addison is starting to have a really, really good season. She's going undefeated at several events, 2-0, getting first place finishes, and it looks like she's putting some things together in the girls' wrestling world. So that's my athlete shout out of the week today, Miss Addison Payden.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that. I'm just going to say, I drug her into this. Just saying, like, because she's going to the National Guard. I was like, try something new, you know. You're trying something new really, really big here soon, so try wrestling. I've never gotten a friend to try, and she did, and she's...
Is this her first year wrestling?
First year.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
She's good.
She's an all-around athlete, but wrestling's different than anything else. She plays volleyball and soccer. Different.
Those Payden kids, you got to be careful with.
Is that right?
Owen, yeah, watch out.
Oh, here
watch
we go.
Watch out, Owen.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's going to do it for us. We hope all of your sports teams win this week, and we'll be back to talk about more sports next week.
I was talking about Walter.
Oh, watch out for Walter, too. Yeah, keep an eye out for him, too.
For Maddie Tolbert, for Michael Doherty, I'm Matt Bilger, and you've been listening to Sports Talk on AM 1340 KXEO.